how I was able to achieve over $100 million within a very, very few short years. I was 29 years old. 1 year into the business, we went into $1 million of debt. It really makes me quite emotional, actually, because just thinking about that period, I even went out and I drove Uber for about 6 months to a year just to bring cash in the door. It was actually a turning point in my life. If that hadn't have happened, it wouldn't have led me to look for something different. I was looking online one day and found this Amazon course. I spent the money that I didn't even have. This was like do or die. And it got to the point where this product was doing well over $10 million a year in revenue. Imagine going from broke to over, you know, $3 million in profit. The lesson here is this. I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Welcome to the podcast. And if you're thinking about my name, Matthew Fraser, you probably Googled me online and found that there's a lot of guys from clairvoyance to big muscle men, but who is Matthew Fraser and where does he fit in this whole big landscape of Amazon and e-commerce? Well, I want to tell you how I was able to achieve over $40 million in online sales and over $100 million in business sales within a very, very few short years. Now, my claim to fame is actually not just the $40 million online, but how I was able to find a product that I didn't even manufacture myself and take that to market. Let's go back to how did I even find online sales? Growing up, I was a kid who just wanted to succeed. I lived in Caboolture. Caboolture is a town that is very working class, but I always had something in me that made me think I wanted to make money. I remember as a kid, I used to trade BMX bike parts. I worked at McDonald's, and as a kid at McDonald's, you have this dream, you get indoctrinated into the McDonald's landscape. And you know, most people have actually worked at Macca's, right? Flipping the hamburgers. And I saw the golden arches and I thought, I would love to own my own set of golden arches. So the dream for me actually as a teenager was to own my own McDonald's store. Now, fast forward about two decades, I ended up owning a Hungry Jack store with my wife. And of course, when you get into a Hungry Jack store, you think you've made it. I was 29 years old. I thought, this is it. I'm going to become a multi-millionaire. But I made a big mistake. And the mistake I made was I really didn't do any due diligence. I just didn't know what I didn't know. I thought by just getting into a big fast food chain was going to make my dreams come true. And you know what? In the beginning, I thought they were. We were working 24/7, 7 days a week in this store. But then 1 year into the business, roadworks came through. The state government decided that it wanted to redo the road. And it wasn't just we wanted to redo the traffic lights, right? It was we're going to dig out an entire mountain and restructure the entire highway. And those roadworks took 3 whole years. Now, I share this story with you because it was one of the worst experiences of my life. We went into a further $1 million of debt just to keep the doors open. No one knew. You know, the staff just came to work every day. The sales were what they were, right? But behind the scenes, my wife and I were struggling big time. We didn't know which way to go. We didn't know how we're going to turn things around. We didn't know how long the roadworks were even going to go for. It's a little bit like right now where just in recent times, people have gone through COVID and a lot of businesses closed down, right? It was very, very similar. It was things that were happening outside of your control. Now, I say that I should have done more due diligence. Perhaps I should have done a little bit more and find out, hey, were these roadworks even coming so I could better prepare before I made that big, big mistake. But looking back now, I think it was a mistake, but it was actually a turning point in my life, okay? A turning point because if that hadn't have happened, it wouldn't have led me to look for something different. And what was something different? Well, first of all, is how could I make more money, right? But at that time, I was selling everything in the house that wasn't pinned down on eBay. There was like clothes and shoes and CDs and you name it, just to help pay the bills. I even went out and I drove Uber for about 6 months to a year just to try and make ends meet and bring cash in the door. These were desperate times. you know, it's just a really, really, it really makes me quite emotional actually, because just thinking about that period, you know, I think it actually brought my wife and I closer together as well. You know, you hear a lot of stories about people who separate over these types of financial situations. It was like every day we were thinking about, are we going to go bankrupt? Should we just close the doors and walk away? Because the debt of $1 million was just so heavy on us. So look, I was doing all sorts of different things. I guess, although I was in a desperate state and I was in a bit of despair, I never got to the point though where I thought like, we can't not do anything, right? I just kept waking up the next day and doing stuff. And I kept thinking about what more could I do? So obviously there was Uber and there was a bunch of little other things on the side. But what I found though, I was looking online one day and found this Amazon course, right? An Amazon course. And I thought, what the fuck is Amazon? I didn't even know what that was. But there was a guy who resonated with me whose name was Adam Hudson, and he was selling this Amazon course. So I took the plunge. I spent the money that I didn't even have, which was like about $2,500. And you can imagine, if you're like me and you were at, if you're like absolutely broke and you're living like credit card or paycheck to paycheck, living on credit, $3,000 or $2,500 for a course is a lot of money. Okay, so I had to sort of pull up my big boy pants and take the plunge and spend this money. And you know what, when you take on these courses, you don't even know if there's going to be an end in sight, right? Is this even going to work? But I was willing to do something. So I did. I joined up, and I remember at the time too, I was actually going to, I was thinking of other things. I thought, you know what, I'll go and get an MBA, because an MBA, which is a Master of Business Administration, that'll help me, right? I'll be able to get this document, which is going to be worth, I think at the time was about $100,000, but hey, it doesn't matter, right? Because you can put on HECS, which means you can pay it later. So I signed up at Bond University on the Gold Coast. I actually went to I even bought the jumper, okay? I bought the jumper and it said Bond Uni on it, right? I thought I was pretty cool. I went to the very first lecture, and this is just probably the week after I'd bought the course. Went to the very first lecture, sat in this room, and keep in mind, I hadn't been to any school environment for like nearly 20 years, roughly. And I certainly didn't go to university, right? I went straight out of year 12 into the workforce. So this whole uni thing was all new to me. And I remember sitting in the classroom of the university and just thinking, and with the textbooks in front of me, this is not for me. I'm out. And that was my first experience of going to university. And I basically finished up on the first day. Now, what happened the next weekend though, was this particular Amazon training course was holding a summit. Okay. And a summit is just basically where all these people who are in the same course you end up going to. But I want to share this with you because this was an absolute turning point for me. Not only had I joined the Amazon training program at a cost of about $2,500 to $3,000. On that particular summit day, it was full of like 400 people in the room, and you get people who come up on stage and they share their experiences and they're selling on Amazon too and they're making all this money. And I remember there was a guy there who was making, it was like $10,000 or something a week. And I thought, holy shit, that is a lot of cash. So I thought I was in the right room. And then what they did is they offered to do mentoring. Okay, it was which was like a one-on-one training and coaching program for 12 months where you could learn hands-on with someone who's already been in that niche and who has been successful. And I remember, you know, they gave us the sales pitch. It was like 20 or I think it was at least $20,000, right? Now, you keep in mind, I had no money and I was broke, still living on credit. So I'm at the summit. And of course, this is about 2017. And I ring my wife and I get straight on the phone to her. I said, babe, we've got to do this Amazon mentoring program. She's like, baby, how much is it? I said, it's $20,000, right? Now we had absolutely no money. And she went, oh, okay, well, how are we going to pay for this? Now, luckily for me, I'm a bit of a collector. So during my whole life, I've just collected all sorts of different things. And I had these, I used to be a DJ, which is like a whole nother story. I was like a DJ in nightclubs for like a decade. And where we used to actually play records, if you remember the 12-inch records. And so I had these Technics 1200 turntables, which were gold-plated, limited edition, still in the box. Now, I had bought them probably about 10 years ago for something like $1,000 each. But in 2017, they'd gone up a lot in value and they were about $6,000 to $8,000 each, okay? And it was really something like I kind of get a bit possessive about material things. I don't really want to let things go. But so it was a big psychological barrier for me to say, look, we are so broke, I'm willing to sell these treasured turntables so I can help pay for the course. And that's what I said to her. And she said, okay, baby, if you sell your turntables, you know, go ahead and let's do it. So we sign up for this program. I actually then go home and go through the process of selling these turntables on eBay amongst a bunch of other things that weren't pinned down at the time as well. And that, it was that jump into, I guess, a major training program really put my balls on the line to deliver. Because keep in mind too, like many people who might be listening now, especially now where like the cost of living pressures that everybody's going through with mortgage prices, you know, repayments through the roof, you're wondering where you're going to make, how you're going to make ends meet, right? And so your back is up against the wall. And my back was up against the wall big time. It was like, this was like do or die. Because if we didn't make this work, the shop could have gone under. We could have gone into bankruptcy. I would have, you know, and it would have been, it's a bit like, it's a little bit of shame, to be honest. You know, it's that, it's feeling that you're a failure. You know, you couldn't make things, you couldn't make ends meet, right? And even though I can say, well, it wasn't because of us, it was because of the government and the roadworks, people don't know that, right? People just look at you and say, well, oh, you shut the doors, you walked out on all your staff and you couldn't do it. So, you know, you're no good at business and you're a failure. And so there was that weight on my shoulders as well. So here I am. I've just joined this now, this training program with this mentor, and we kick things off. And I will say, you know, in the very beginning, you're super, super enthusiastic. And I was really enthusiastic, you know, because I started looking for products and what could I sell online. And of course, these are the hurdles that many people go through that I see now who are clients of mine, and they have the same issues, right? They're thinking about what products they're going to sell. So I've been through all this. And so I did my first product. It was ended up being a car chamois, and it was like in a bullet shaped tube. And I thought it was really, really cool. And it was like a camouflaged chamois. And I thought Americans are going to love this shit, right? Because it says Patriot and it's in a bullet shape and it's camouflaged. What more could you want? And of course, guess what? It didn't work. And you're going to say, well, what about the mentor? How come he didn't help you with that? And I want to tell you, sometimes you just don't know. You can make these products as good as they can possibly be, but you don't actually know until you put it into the market. And then the market decides, is this a good product or not? So it was good in the sense of the product didn't sell as much as I wanted it to, for sure, but it was a great experience of knowledge, which then gave me confidence to go to the next thing, right? So amongst this, I then take a trip to China, Canton Fair. We tour all of China. And if you haven't been to Canton Fair, it's something like 80 football fields big, right? So think of 80 football fields, and it's just layer upon layer and row upon row of just products, right? It's just an absolute minefield. It's completely overwhelming. A lot of clients come to me now and say, Matthew, should I go to Canton Fair? And quite often, if you're in the beginning, I say no. Don't waste your money going to Canton Fair, right? Because you're just going to be completely overwhelmed and you won't even know what you're looking for. So we're touring through Canton Fair, and it was at Canton Fair that I found my next product, which was the kitchen knife. Yeah, but it wasn't any old kitchen knife. In fact, I've got it right here. Well, you can see here right next to me. Well, that's the chamois that I spoke about. That's that one there. Absolute genius. So I thought that was. I thought it was so cool. But check out this one though. This one here is the, what I called the brand name was Asari. And this is the very, very special kitchen knife, Damascus steel pressed and something along with it. And this sort of bamboo container. Now, this here actually, I'll put it like this. This folds up. This is actually how it comes in a box. It's the holder, right? You then unwrap it and it folds out into a kitchen knife holder. So you can actually put this on your kitchen cabinet or your kitchen counter and you can gaze at it, your amazing chef knife. Now, this looked really, really cool. And this, by this stage, I'm sort of thinking I'm going to put all my money into this because this is going to be the winner, right? And You won't believe how much money I put into this. Just the patents alone. What's a patent? It's like protection against other people stealing your ideas. So you're like protecting your ideas. And in this case, I was protecting the design of this product, meaning the actual package itself, not the knife, and also a utility patent, which is how it operates. So in this case, it transforms. Now, you're going to guess how much this was going to cost? I spent in the vicinity of $20,000 on patents. And you're thinking at the time, you kind of get stuck into the motions of this product is so awesome. And, you know, I don't want anyone to steal it. So I have to protect it. And I've got to get the trademarks and that's more money. And I've got to get the patents and that's more money. And next thing you know, to do something like this, and this is what most people don't even know, to do something like this with all the patents, you're probably looking by the time you do samples and everything in the vicinity of $40,000 to $50,000. I mean, that said, I know people right now who have got different products, some of my clients, and they've invested upwards of $200,000 and even $400,000 in their product before it even goes to market. So you've got to be really, really sure of yourself when going to that. And so part of my mentoring program that I have now is I teach people how to actually not spend money unnecessarily. That was my kitchen product that never, ever made it to market. But what were the lessons? Well, the lessons were, of course, you know, don't spend money unnecessarily. And I didn't have someone, I guess, at the time. By this stage, I'd kind of finished with my mentor because it was only a one-year program. But I didn't have someone who I could just call on a minute-by-minute or daily basis to say, hey, what do you think of this? Should I do this? Am I spending the right amount of money? Is this design looking good? And so that's why I say to people now who are coming into this space, you have to have a mentor. There's absolutely no doubt. You'll actually save money by having a mentor rather than not having a mentor, because the amount of people I've seen who waste money, and even people who waste way more money than what I've spent. I'm a different kettle of fish though, because even though I spent this much money, I was able to, I've got a lot of resilience. And I said to you before, my back was up against the wall, so there was no way I was just going to let this just finish. Most people would have finished up probably after the car chamois, right? It didn't work out and they just would have pulled the pin. Then the next time people would have quit would probably be after this, when it didn't even get to market and they'd probably shelled out $50,000 in product costs. So then it was around this time that something else happened. And I was listening to some really, really big gurus in online. It was guys like Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, and I was taking a lot of inspiration from these guys because they were well ahead of me. And it was Gary Vee one day that said to me, well, he said on the video, I thought he was talking to me. He said, you need to be on social media. And I thought, wow, I need to be on social media. Okay. And he said, if you don't know what to talk about, like if your story's boring, which of course I didn't want to talk about how broke I was, he said, just share your story of perhaps whatever you're doing at the time. So what was I doing at the time? I was doing Amazon. So it was through this sort of kitchen knife period that I started talking online about, you know, the design and getting samples from China and this type of thing, and sort of all the trials and tribulations of trying to start up an Amazon-based business. Now, it was around this time, so we're now talking about late 2017, probably early 2018, that someone saw a video that I had made just talking about Amazon. And he wrote to me and he said, oh, Matthew, I've got a medical product that I would love to be able to get onto Amazon, but I don't know how to do it. Can I please meet with you? And I had no idea where this meeting was going to go to. But I can tell you, if these types of messages come to you, it's what I call like a red car moment, right? When you notice the red cars. This was a red car moment. Okay. And this was take the opportunity right now and go and meet with this guy. So that's what I did. I went and met with this guy literally at coffee club down the road, and he sat there in front of me and he said, Matthew, this is my medical product. I'd like to get this onto Amazon. Can you help? And I just said, yeah, absolutely. Now keep in mind, he didn't know the history that I had. He didn't know that I was broke. He didn't know that I'd only done one product that didn't even work out. He didn't know that I had this product that I hadn't even taken to market. What he did know though was that I was on Amazon, and I was on Amazon, but it wasn't really working for me, right? So we discussed this medical product and I said, look, why don't you give me 100 units? I'll ship them into Amazon and let's just test it out and see how we go, right? So it was literally no money down. I took the products, which I obviously knew how to do. I knew how to do a shipping label. I knew how to do a listing, right? All these basic things, which I learned doing the chamois and not quite the kitchen knife. And I sent these products into Amazon. The 100 products sold within 3 weeks, right? I thought that was incredible. I was just like literally jumping around just thinking, oh my God. And then of course, if anyone has been in my situation where you start a product on Amazon, you start doing the numbers. Wow, if we can sell 100 units in 3 weeks, this will be awesome. And we'll make like $5,000 a month or something. And so this was the first test though of this product in the market. And it validated that it was something that people wanted to buy. So this gave me then the confidence to go back to the owner of this medical product and say, all right, what I want to do now is I want to sign up an exclusive distribution agreement and I want to be exclusive on Amazon. Why should you try and sign up with a manufacturer to be exclusive on Amazon? This is a key piece of information for anyone going into the Amazon marketplace. And the reason why is that you do not want to be competing with other people on the same platform for the same product. Because what's going to happen is going to be a race to the bottom on price point. Because if you've got the exact same product on your listing, then the only way the customer is going to choose between you and the other person is price. So the other person is no doubt going to have a price point that's even 10 cents cheaper than yours. And guess what? We're all human. We're going to go with this with the cheaper price point. Okay. Then what you're going to have to do is be cheaper again. So you're going to be 10 cents cheaper. They're going to be 10 cents cheaper. And it's going to be a complete race to the bottom, which is a big, big no-no and a lose-lose for everybody. And that's why you want to make sure that you're signed up with a manufacturer to be exclusive seller for their product. Now, if you can, I wouldn't just take Amazon. I'd be exclusive on eBay. I'd be exclusive on Walmart. I'd be exclusive. Even if you can, I'd be exclusive in a whole entire country. But this comes down to you making sure that you do the right contract at the right time. Back to the story. I've now got, I've signed up an exclusive distribution. I mean, actually, let me put this away because I'm going to put that back there. So I've now signed up an exclusive distribution for the Amazon marketplace. And my first order was about 500 units. Now, keep in mind, I was still broke. I didn't have any money. So how did I buy the stock? I bought the stock on a credit card, right? So I gave the guy this credit card. He swiped the credit card. He sent the stock all the way into America, 500 units. And then I start doing what every Amazon seller needs to do, optimize the listing, the best keywords, the best pictures, the best bullet points, the best description, right? You start targeting PPC, which is pay-per-click, which means that you can advertise your product on the Amazon marketplace. Because when a customer gets to Amazon and types in a particular keyword, and in this case, it was a breathing product. If they type in best breathing product, you might find that in the very beginning, you're on page 10. And guess what? No customer is searching through really the first three pages of any product, and you will never ever be seen. So by paying Amazon a little bit of money to show up for that keyword on page one, you're gonna have the best bite of the cherry and get sales straight away because the product is visible to the Amazon customer immediately. So I sell out these first 500 units. I'm thinking things are fantastic. Actually, when you're selling on Amazon, you can get an Amazon app. And at the time, there was another program which I had doubled up on my phone, which every time I made a sale, it would send me a cha-ching sound. So through the day, I was getting these cha-ching. And you would instantly go to your phone, you do like a refresh and say, oh my God, I've just sold like two devices. This is incredible. And I can tell you what, when you make your very first sale, that's the moment. It's the very first sale moment. When we go back to the car chamois, it was my very first product in Amazon. The very first sale is when you think, wow, this is now real. I've now manufactured this product. I've got it into Amazon and someone has gone in and made a purchase. Okay. And ultimately what happens after that is Amazon will send you money back to your bank account. You know, we've got this medical device now listed on Amazon and I was at a local school actually. And they had me there as part of this like entrepreneurship program where I was going to the school and talking about being an entrepreneur. And, you know, it was a little bit of fake it till you make it because I really didn't feel like I'd really made it, although I was doing things that most people were not doing. And keep in mind, this is 2018. Amazon Australia didn't even exist. So people in Australia just had really no idea. And you talk to them and say, oh, you know about Amazon? And most people would be like, what? I've no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about, right? Amazon in America at that stage was absolutely massive. People go to Amazon every single day to buy products. I'm talking like dog food, like chairs, clothing, you name it, right? Because Amazon is just a beast. So I'm in this classroom and I remember my phone was going off and I remember talking to the kids in the room like, look, these kids, I've just done like 15 products today. And to be honest, they were kind of like, yeah, and? Yeah, but I'm like, wait, look, 15 products times like 7 days a week times like 52 weeks. This is like, you know, I think at the time it was like $50,000, you know, and you do the profit, it's like $20,000 and I'm not even selling it. It's just like happening on my phone like magic. And keep in mind, Amazon picks, packs and sends your product to the customer because they're taking care of everything. So that was a really, really big moment for me. I think it was special because I was trying to share it with the kids and they had no idea what I was talking about. So fast forward, I'm then sort of optimizing my listing. I'm doing PPC. And I remember at the time I was doing my own PPC. Now, what does that mean? As I was learning how to do keywords and optimizing the listing. And then there was another pivotal moment in this. It was when I was doing the work myself and I thought, you know what? I've kind of maxed out where I am here. I'm going to hire somebody else to do the PPC. And guess what happened? It was at a stage I was doing by this level, $50,000 a month. Like that's $50,000 a month recurring. Okay. I then hired the PPC expert and guess what happened? The sales doubled the next month. They went from $50,000 to $100,000 a month. And I'm just like, oh my God. Now, $100,000 a month is a very special moment because in the Amazon training program that I was a part of this big community and they had already set the goals, right? And the goal was if you could get to $100,000, you were like someone special, right? You basically walked on water. And I remember being at some of these other summits over the following years, seeing other people who were doing $100,000 a month in sales. And I thought they were God, right? And I was like bowing at them, you know, oh my God, how did you do this, right? Because it just seems so far away, right? So out of your realm. In fact, if I take you back to the very, very first summit, this is the time when I was about to sign up for the mentoring program. One of the questions was, you know, write down what will your goals be? And I remember writing down the goals back in, this is so 2017, I want to be doing by year one, like $5,000 a month with like one product. And then year two was like, I want to be doing $7,500 a month, right? And I was thinking so small, right? It was even like to the point where I think year five, I was saying, wow, if I could be doing $30,000 a month, I thought that was amazing. So I'm going from broke to thinking I was going to do $30,000 US a month in sales. And you kind of guesstimate that you're going to be doing 30% margins in that. So you're thinking roughly sort of $10,000 a month profit. You think, wow, this is going to be awesome. So I'm thinking $30,000 a month was going to be big. But guess what? I soon realized when I was doing $100,000 a month, I wasn't thinking big enough. I was thinking way too small. And you got to remember too that Amazon is like a worldwide distribution network, right? Even if you're selling in America, you're selling to, you know, over 300 million people. So thinking that you're going to be doing $5,000 or $10,000 a month, yeah, you want to get to that, but that is not your goal. So here I am, I'm doing $100,000 a month and I'm thinking I'm freaking awesome. But guess what? I also thought by that time that I was going to have maids, a Porsche, a big house, all these sort of material things that I kind of dreamt of, and I kind of pinned it to $100,000 a month because that was the big award in the training program community, okay? And once I got to that, I realized I still don't really have much money. You know, things were looking good and things were kind of turning around, but I didn't have all these big things. And so after getting to $100,000, I realized, mate, I've got to start thinking much, much bigger. My new goal now is $1 million a month. Okay, so this is my new goal, $1 million a month. And it was around this time that some big, big event happened, which you just absolutely do not foresee. And what had happened was Amazon shut my listing down. So here I am, I'm doing like $100,000 a month. I'm like, hell yeah, this is awesome. I'm heading to $1 million. And then one day you just wake up and you've got no sales and you shit yourself. And you think, oh my God, I've got like, you know, like $100,000 worth of stock sitting in Amazon. I can't make any sales now. What's going on? How come they've shut me down? And you start freaking out. And so you get on the phone to Amazon and you try to resolve things. Now, ultimately what ended up happening is I resolved whatever issues they were at the time and the listing came back out. But the lesson here is this: you cannot rely on one marketplace. And so this detriment in my business, this downfall in my business, this error in my business, this unforeseeable issue in my business led me to think, okay, how can I mitigate this risk? So what I ended up doing was opening up my own website, because I'm thinking, well, if people are coming to Amazon and buying the product, why wouldn't they come to a website and also buy the product? Okay. So this then led me to open up my very own ClickFunnels account. ClickFunnels, one page kind of website. I'm driving Facebook ads and Facebook and Google ads to a landing page, which is selling the product, and I'm making more sales. Okay, guess what happened? My Amazon listing is now back up. It's doing over $100,000 a month. And then my sales funnel, it also starts doing now over $100,000 a month, like straight off the bat. I was spending in the vicinity of like $10,000 a day in like Facebook ads and Google ads, just smashing this thing, because my ROAS at the time, which is return on ad spend, I was putting in about $10,000 a day and pulling out at least $30,000 a day in revenue. So, and I had really, really good margin with this particular product as well. So next thing you know, I've got now two income streams. I've mitigated the risk against Amazon shutting me down, and I've now got just all this extra cash coming through. So then I start thinking, well, how can I actually just replicate this even more? So what I do, I just open it up in the UK. I opened up to the UK, because at that stage, UK was the next biggest marketplace, still before Australia had even opened up. So fast forward, I just replicate this model. I'm in USA, Canada, I'm in Japan, I'm now in Australia, UK, Europe. And it got to the point where this product was doing well over $10 million a year in revenue. That's $10 million US. So we're talking about $15 million in revenue per annum. And I was pulling out profit in the vicinity of, you know, $3+ million a year. So you can imagine going from broke to slowly, and slowly, but it seems quick now, to over, you know, $3 million in profit. Your problem then becomes different problems. Because the first thing I did was I paid off all the debt. I paid off the $1 million that I had. I was renting at the time, so I bought myself a house. I saved up in the vicinity of, I think it was like $60,000 in deposit for a house. And I saved that up within like 3 months, and then just bought into the market. And then, so your problems become like, they become different, right? I went from problems being, how am I going to pay rent? How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to keep the business afloat? To how I've got all this money now coming in. What do I do with the money, right? How do I now protect the money? How do I protect also all the income streams that I've got going? So mitigation, like risk mitigation, became my number one priority. Having had my lesson, of course, with Hungry Jack's, I had all my eggs in Hungry Jack's and it went south, right? So now I'm sort of using the lessons I've learned there in the online space. And of course, with the first Amazon shutdown, which they don't tell you about in the training, by the way, I've now branched out to like multiple streams of revenue in multiple countries. And then I start doing other products. All right. Now let's go back. I'm thinking about, you know, more products and more distribution networks. So ultimately the lesson here is make sure you have more than one revenue stream, make sure you have more than one platform. So you might be on Amazon, eBay, and Walmart, just in case one of those gets shut down, you've got two other ones that are still operating. And if you take things even further than that, you want to have multiple countries. And this way, it'll protect your income into the future. So as you can see, looking back from that very, very short journey from sort of 2016 starting in the Amazon training right through to 2017 starting mentoring, 2018 starting the medical device, and even right up to today, there's been lots of trials and tribulations and massive, massive hurdles that I've had to overcome, much like many people have to overcome in their journey. It's not simple. But even in that period, having forged through all those challenges, I've been able to do now over $40 million in online sales, which has given me a life I could only dream of, you know, with like car collections and multiple houses and commercial properties and a big cryptocurrency investment portfolio. It's all because I didn't stop and I kept pushing. So guys, if this is valuable to you and you want to hear more about all the challenges that I've been able to come and even to today, how I've now transitioned into becoming a mentor so I can teach people how to get ahead, how to set up their own car collection, how to even buy property, how to get products launched on Amazon. But you know what? It actually starts with that. It starts with learning how to get products on Amazon so you can start the foundation and ultimately get to where I've gotten to financially or even greater. So guys, tune in for the next episode and I hope you find this really, really helpful. All right, take care. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.